The balance sheet recession. Why are we as Americans so ignorant of the havoc that has fallen on the second largest economy in the world in the last 15 years? While we could come up with several reasons, the most important thing is to learn from the lessons in financial history and what it could teach us as Americans right now. As I read Dr. Richard Kuh's book, The Balance Sheet Recession, I was able to understand the enormous economic malaise that has occurred to Japan since its stock market topped out in 1989. Yes, 89, not 99. Oh, and for the record, Dr. Kuh formerly worked for the Federal Reserve and is the chief economist for Nomura Securities in Japan today. I think the thing that hit me the most is that what has happened to Japan is economically not supposed to happen. Consider Dr. Kuh's comments. Quote, "In modern history, Japan is the only country that has not fallen into depression despite a loss of wealth greater than the loss experienced by the U.S. during its Great Depression." Unquote. So why has this event in modern history not been corrected in over 15 years? Dr. Kuh points out early on that the biggest problems faced in Japan is that the businesses are doing something not addressed in teachings on economics. Since 1989, businesses have not focused on growth. They have focused on paying down debt. So cutting interest rates to give businesses an incentive to borrow and to expand has just not worked. Please remember that we are now talking about an event that has not been going on for a quarter or two, but one that has been going on for 15 years. One great lesson that Dr. Kuh illustrates when comparing the Central Bank of Japan is stated as follows. The Federal Bank Reserve of New York, America's Central Bank, is powerless in this type of environment. For Japan has certainly seen that monetary policy that provides cheap credit can become totally ineffective. In the U.S., we have seen the fastest rate cuts in U.S. history, taking us to the cheapest credit since the 1950s. While the statistics clearly show that the consumer has increased their borrowing and real estate debt, has gone through an explosive growth since 2001, we do not see the same thing happening in corporate borrowing. In fact, in a chapter called Japan's Lessons for the U.S. Economy, Dr. Kuh points out that this collapse for U.S. corporate borrowing has occurred even though the rate cuts are now at historical lows in the U.S. So if the Bank of Japan hasn't been able to light a fire under their corporations with the lowest interest rates, quote, ever recorded in human history, unquote, then how do we, as Americans, think that we can do it? Clearly, the last 4 years have proven that, as Dr. Kuh stated earlier, America's central bank is now powerless. While they can give corporations low interest rate incentives to go out and borrow money, they cannot force these corporations to borrow. The only thing that has picked up this loss of credit demand in the corporate world is the consumer and real estate. So how has Japan stayed out of depression all this time, and what can that teach us? As Sergeant Friday used to say on Dragnet, just the facts, ma'am. Number one, the Japanese people have been and continue to be big savers. Number two, the Japanese government picked up this corporate slack by producing ever-widening deficits and producing more and more government projects and expenses. While this has certainly kept their economy moving, quote, forward, unquote, it has not come without a huge cost and an increased risk to the Japanese people. The cost is illustrated by the fact that Japan has lost 2.7 times its 1989 GDP, which was the year when their stock market peaked. In the U.S., even the Great Depression only hit one times the 1929 level of GDP in 1933. Illustrated another way, the golf club memberships and commercial real estate in 2003 hold a value of about a tenth of the value it had in the early 90s. Number three, Koo points out that to target inflation is a meaningless policy because a central bank cannot achieve that policy. So how do we as Americans, or what do we as Americans, take away from what they have learned and are still learning today in Japan? Number one, the U.S. in June 2004 hit the lowest savings rate in over 50 years. So whereas the Japanese saver had a lot to do with stalling their economic decline, we cannot depend on the American consumer's savings power. Number two, our government is already producing the largest deficit both the U.S. and trade ever in history as I write this. So we don't have much room to, quote, expand, unquote, the role of government. In fact, as I heard recently, whereas we have lost 1.6 million private jobs since the recession officially began, and of course it is supposed to have ended in November of 2001, at the same time, public jobs, or those that are paid through government funds, have increased between 800,000 to 1 trillion. So does adding government jobs while private jobs are being lost sound like a sustainable economic move forward? And number three, finally, there has been much talk by our own central bank of targeting inflation. If you go back to my May newsletter, you will see that inflation, according to Webster's, is, quote, the expansion of money or credit, unquote. So if credit has had one of the most explosive growths in U.S. history, i.e. the period of 2001 to 2004, and the real estate market and consumers get tapped out and have to cut back on borrowing, can the Federal Reserve really target inflation? Clearly, as Dr. Koo points out, monetarists believe that any macroeconomic policy can be solved by the central bank. For this reason, they can never accept the fact that they are powerless. According to their theories, this situation just could not ever happen. Okay, so I've given you enough scary stuff. None of my writings or sound files, like Dr. Koo's book, is meant to be scary just to sell you scary investment scenario solutions, just like none of the optimistic stuff poured from institutions in the U.S. should not be just to sell you, quote, happy talk investment solutions. All solutions should be those that are painfully honest and look at our world with cold, hard common sense and try to educate the public on the real world they live in. I would strongly suggest this book for reading. However, I feel his solutions at the end of the book are highly contrary to human nature and government and thus will never work. As an example, quote, we would encourage the Japanese people to cut their savings and increase their spending through tax breaks, unquote. Wow, this is 180% opposite of what American tax policy has done over the last two decades. So my suggestion would be to stick with the history in this book, but avoid the solutions.